The young actors rise above their material, but Hawk is wasted as the killer. Amen. That's from David Stratton of The Australian. One of the new movies we're reviewing this week is The Black Phone. Now, it's a bit of a cheat because it was actually in theaters in June, but it's still new because it's new to VOD and, of course, new to streaming now. Also, we have a new movie called Bandit. That is actually new in theaters, and it's available streaming services as well. That stars Josh Duhamel, Mel Gibson, Alicia Cuthbert, terrific movie. That's available now. I know. The Gibson thing made people a little squeamish. As far as an old movie this week, well, you know what? We got The Everyman. That's right. Dan Stanzik, the OG, the original gangster, the first producer of Cinephile, co-creator, is back. I don't know what movie he's doing. We used to have a segment. There we go. The applause is back. We used to have a segment he would do called Everyman because he is an everyman. So he's said, I'm going to dial up an everyman for you. He's coming back and let us know what's new in his world. The wild card this week, well, there's a new movie coming out called The Good House. It's a comeback performance by Sigourney Weaver. Sigourney Weaver is on Mark Maron this week, WTF. I believe she's on Colbert or Kimmel this week. Couldn't get Sigourney Weaver on Cinephile, though. So we got the writers and directors of the film The Good House. That would be Maya Forbes and Wally Wolodarski. So that is our wild card this week. They're talking about Sigourney Weaver and Kevin Kline's new film. It is called The Good House. As we kick things off, I'm at the gym the other day. Guy comes up to me and goes, hey, loved hearing Cal Penn on the podcast. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah. I go, oh, you and me, both brown guys living in Jersey. Of course, I'm sure you love Cal Penn. He's like, oh, he's great. Yeah. And he pauses. He goes, not as good as a masturbating dog, though. I'm like, what? The legend of the Mark Harris book still goes. I'm like, yes. To be clear, the dog was not masturbating. A woman was masturbating the dog. But yes, the joke still stands.
I think that's the legend of you with Mike Schur. Don't give that to Mark Harris.
But thank you. Thank you to Bo Preet, who is listening to the pod. Speaking of Mike Schur, though, Ken Tremendous. Fantastic job on the Levitard show, giving up some Federer stats. It was awesome. It was the stat of the day, as Schur was locked in.
Great. Yeah.
He was locked in, just really selling.
I didn't realize he was that dominant, because I kind of lived through Federer. Like, I grew up, Federer was, like, in his peak, and I knew he was an all-time great, but those stats Mike Schur said about, like, what was it, like, he, like, won 20, like, his first seven finals, like, 24 straight quarter, like, it was just insane, these numbers on
10
Federer.
10 straight Grand Slam finals. I think it's 34 straight Grand Slam quarterfinals, 310 weeks at number one. It was number one player for 4 years.
He won his first seven finals or something. It was something
about his first seven finals. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just crazy.
So good stuff there by Mike Schur. I was on.
By the way, before you continue on, is it the Black Phone or Black Phone? Because I saw it's rare that they're different on Rotten Tomatoes. They put the on IMDb. It was just Black Phone. It's rare that happens.
Good point. I think it should just be Black Phone. And then I heard Ethan Hawke, who was on Smartless, and Sean Hayes kept saying, I just saw the Black Phone. I go, why does he keep calling it the Black Phone? It's just Black Phone. But then I looked, and on my DirecTV where I saw streaming, it says the Black Phone. So
But on the main poster, it says Ethan Hawke, Black Phone.
It
doesn't
just be
say
Black
the
phone.
In the main poster.
We're getting rid of the. Too many movies with the, anyways. We're getting rid of the. It's Black Phone. I'm glad that you made that correction. Again, you can listen to Metal Arkers. Thanks so much. People listen to that podcast. Me, Brian Koppelman, and Howard Bryan. Although I got bumped from Stupidity. Billy Gill
Do we have beef? Like, we could maybe get, like, maybe work up some beef here. Maybe get some extra downloads. Are you beefing with Stu Gatz?
No, I just don't understand why. He reached out. I mean, Billy texted, but Stu was on the group text. Hey, we'd like to have you on and talk Federer. I'm still available. I could talk about Federer's last match, Laver Cup. And they bumped me. So I was like, who they bumped me for? It was Kirkjian. You can get Tim anytime. He's talking Pujols, 700 home runs, and Judge. Yeah. I'm like, it was disappointing. Good news, though.
I mean, Stu Gatz, that's just the Stu Gatz way, though. His brain is, I'm sure he texts Billy, oh, we got to have Adnan. And then, like, that show is just, like, it's all over the place. So, like, I wouldn't take it personally. It's not like they're like, we hate Adnan. I think they moved on.
Well, okay, fair enough. They moved on. Thanks to Michael Grant of Awful Announcing, did a question and answer with me in which we talked about Judge, the baseball season, upcoming hockey season, and why I hate Tom Cruise. How good was that blurb? A little bit of love there for Cinephile. I sent it to you immediately. You're like, let's go.
Oh, I love it. And I'm wondering, like, how often do you get these type of requests? Are you a guy that will say yes to almost anything? Or do you, are there a lot of no's, but Awful Announcing gets the yes?
A lot of no's, but once in a while, I'll give it a yes. And he seemed like a nice guy. And he's buddies with Deitch. Richard Deitch, of course, who has interviewed me many times when he was at Sports Illustrated. Deitch,
so he had to drop those bona fides to get you. Like, if he doesn't drop that nugget, do you do the interview?
It does help to have some context. Like, if you were Chris Cody and just messaged me like, hey, my name is Chris Cody, was wondering if you would come on the Dan Le Batard show. I don't know if I would do it. But if you said, hey, I'm Chris Cody, big fan of your work. I love Cinephile. I also love Claude Giroux because he's on the Panthers now. And I know you're a Flyers fan.
We have a mutual friend. Yes. I have this guy.
Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, I'm in. Like, you got to give me something. He keeps like, hey, would you? I'm like, no, I got other things to do.
Do you text Deich on the side? Like, hey, should I do this?
Or? I did. I said, I'm confirming this guy was actually the best man at your wedding. He's like, yes. And he's like, what is he doing? I'm like, he's interviewing me for Awful Announcing. I think he wrote something like How the Mighty Have Fallen, which I don't know if he was knocking him for the writing or the fact he's interviewing me. But either way, I was like, okay, clearly he knows who he is. The good news is power of social media. DirecTV, if you'll recall last week on the episode, I was lamenting the fact that after 11 years of DirecTV, last year they gave me NFL Sunday Ticket for free. This year did not do so. I called them and said, we're not doing it. I said, that's like giving your wife a wedding present after 11 years and the 12th year going, you know, I think we're good. So Nick Durst does a great job tweeting for Cinephile. Does so pro bono at Cinephile Pod. Nick's always one tweeting for me. He tweets out, you know, the list of items of this week's episodes and writes at Nance B for DirecTV, but he didn't at them. So I at DirecTV and I just wrote, give me Sunday Ticket. Like without context. They wrote back to me and go, we realized there were some issues with the streaming service in week two. We hope to improve that. I go, I don't care. Because obviously I didn't have an issue with streaming, so I don't have it. So I said, I don't care. I've been with you for 12 years. I want a free Sunday Ticket. And then I get a message from DirecTV Help. And it's like, hello, this is Elizabeth. We understand your issue. And then I'm like, I have to flex. I'm like, my name is Adnan Verk. I'm a sportscaster, MLB Network, NHL Network. I've been with DirecTV for 12 years. I've been on television for 20 years. September 24th, last Saturday, I was with Pedro Martinez. I looked at him at one point. I go, September 24th today? He goes, yeah. I go, 2002? I'm like, this is the 20th anniversary of me being on television. I'm hanging out with Pedro Martinez.
Wow, you are dropping it.
So I'm like, I got to flex on these people.
I don't understand. I'm like struggling. Like just because you've been on TV for 20 years, you deserve free NFL tickets.
No, because I've been with them for 12 years and they gave
Shouldn't
me free.
Shouldn't teachers get free during football too?
Pay the teachers. Support the troops. I'm definitely in favor of that. But I was like, I've been with you for 12 years. I pay $157 for DirecTV. I want free NFL Sunday Ticket. She goes, give me a call back. I'm like, I'm on the air right now. I'm talking to Pedro Martinez posting. I don't have time right now. How would I have time right now? She messages me, calls me, is like, sir, we review the information. You're right. You qualify. I'm like,
We're back. That is the Stugatz of the day. I am proud of you, man.
The other
that
people are like, the Stugatz is strong in you. I'm like, yeah.
That is great.
That is a savings of $395.14. I watched Eagles and Commanders on Sunday afternoon. It was great. I watched Red Zone. I had eight different games on. It was awesome. It was best.
The Octobox.
The Octobox. Love a good Octobox. So a big time thank you to DirecTV. Thank you for rectifying the wrong. Thank you for being great. I just want to get that out of the way. All right.
Can I get some free Chipotle?
Well, that's the thing. Robert Flores messaged me and he goes, how did you get free? I go, listen, you've got to work the system, okay? And this is the power of social media. Cody, I don't like the people who go, at Delta, I've been waiting 3 hours here in line. I lost my bag. I don't understand.
You did that.
I know. I never do that, though. That's my point.
You did it, though.
But I don't like people difference? Who do that. I've never done that previously. I go to the airport. If they lose my bag, it's okay. These people at them, they complain. This is the one time I did it and it worked. And it was because it was DirecTV.
Hey, Chipotle, let me get some food.
Years ago, I wanted to get Milk Duds. Well, I should bring this up to Stanzik when we speak to him today. I was like, can I get Milk Duds? He's like, oh, I don't know. ESPN sponsor. Like, I can get you the Milk Duds. I'm like, he never got me the Milk Duds. I thought that was pretty easy. Just tweet them. Hey, this guy loves movies. He loves Milk Duds. I'm still waiting for the free Milk Duds. We'll see. We'll circle that
We're
back
prepared to make this the official movie podcast of Milk Duds.
Correct.
Like, without any actual money, just send us some Milk Duds. That's
it. If you send me free Milk Duds, I will hype the crap out of this. Chris is right. Presenting sponsor. Cinephile brought to you by Milk Duds. That's in the game.
We might have our title today. Cinephile brought to you by Milk Duds.
I feel like now we're on a hot streak. Like, I got free NFL Sunday Ticket. Let's see if we get free Milk Duds. Let's ride this sucker.
Oh, that might
sucker.
Be the title, too. We got to figure it out. Okay, we got some good nominees.
Let's ride this sucker as long as we can. All right. Let's get to some movies, shall we? Black Phone. What the hell happened? Okay. Apologies to my buddy Rick Passmore. I really liked it. Apologies to Claire Atkins. She and I both love Ethan Hawke. This was a waste of my time. Are you kidding? I can't believe I paid $6 for this thing. Here's the synopsis. After being abducted by a child killer and locked in a soundproof basement, a 13-year-old boy starts receiving calls on a disconnected phone from the killer's previous victims. The director is Scott Derrickson. The writers are Joe Hill, who was based on the short story The Black Phone, and Scott Derrickson and C. Robert. Yeah, exactly. Right in time for Halloween. This was a waste of my time. As Chris noted, the poster says Ethan Hawke. I'm watching this movie not because I like Scott Derrickson, not because I've read the short story, not that I care about black phones or rotary phones. I want to see Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke is in this movie 12 minutes. This is a complete waste of my time. Yes, he plays the killer. I want to see Ethan Hawke vamping up. I want to see him over the top. I want to see him like Hannibal Lecter, crazy accent, killing people. None of that stuff. I got Ethan Hawke wearing a mask. I get Ethan Hawke shirtless at one point. I don't have any weird, I don't have any perverted Ethan Hawke. I don't have any strange Ethan Hawke. I don't have him like Buffalo Bill. I don't have him like Jeffrey Dahmer eating people, cannibalizing. No, apparently he's killed some kids, and he's got this kid locked in his basement. That's it. He just shows up, gives the kids eggs at one point, leaves. Like, that's it. This is a waste of my time. I've seen better horror movies. It is completely predictable. I know exactly where the ending is going. The black phone is, of course, a metaphor for a conscience and what this guy's done and the different lives he's leading. It was, honestly, the less said about it, the better. It was a complete waste of my time. Thank God I didn't go see it in theaters. I was going to go see it in June. As I mentioned, it opened in theaters in June. I just didn't get around to it. I'm like, oh, it's on demand right now, $6. No, 1.5 Maple Leafs for whether it's called The Black Phone or Black Phone. Ethan Hawke's my favorite actress. Yeah. It's a waste of his time.
You don't give out a lot of ones and 1.5s. Like, no. It's got to be bad. Like,
I'm going to see what the reviews you got here. Charles Bromesco of Inside Hawk. A limited location. Yeah, it's in a room. A restricted number of characters. Yeah, there's a kid in Ethan Hawke and a couple other people. And a narrative model rooted in sparseness, all demand finesse in order to be spun into feature-length cinema. And The Black Phone shows why, for worse, more often than for the better. That's right. Charles Bromesco of Inside Hook, he's bringing the heat today. I agree with that. All right. Next up is Bandit, a film which I thought was terrific. I got to shout out my friend Sammy, who messaged me and goes, hey, Alan Unger's a friend of mine. He's a director. I'm like, uh-huh. He's got a new movie called Bandit. I said, I'm aware of it. Josh Duhamel. I just saw him on Jimmy Kimmel. My wife loves Josh Duhamel. I got it. He's like, could you want to interview Alan Unger for Cinephile? I said, let me watch the movie first. I don't want to consent to the movie and the interview just in case I don't like the movie. He goes, no problem. I watched the movie. It's excellent. After escaping a Michigan prison, a charming career criminal assumes a new identity in Canada and goes on to rob a record 59 banks and jewelry stores while being hunted by a police task force. It's based on the story of The Flying Bandit, and it is a terrific movie. It is written by Robert Knuckle and Craig Wenman, and it stars the very winning, the very charming, and as my wife would tell you, the very handsome Josh Duhamel. Backstory on Josh Duhamel, good friend of Ben Lyons. Ben is part of the group that commits to make a film called Spaceman, the story of Bill Lee, the great baseball pitcher, the Red Sox, quirky, crazy Spaceman. So that movie came out 5 years ago, and Ben goes, I got to send you the screen. It was before Ben and I were really good friends. And he goes, I got to send you this movie, Spaceman. It'd be great if you could pump it up. I got a problem. I watched it, loved it. I had a great blurb for it. Now, I don't have the poster. I'm going to have to ask Lyons about this. He called me the other day, and I called him back, and he goes, I swear to God, he goes, I'm riding a bike right now in Times Square. Can I call you back? I'm like, why? I don't know. I want some more context on this. Like, why are you riding a bike in Times Square? Why are you answering the phone? But I'm like, okay, fine. I'll call you back. The next time I speak to him, though, there's a poster for Spaceman. Again, this was very limited release, right? VOD. He goes, bro, we made this with like $5. And if you'll listen to the full interview, which, by the way, Chris is going to play a clip from, June 23rd, 2017. At one point, I praised Josh for the movie, and he goes, I think I lost, let's be honest, I lost money on that movie. He's like, it cost me money to play Bill Lee. But the poster, Spaceman, I believe I have the blurb. Like, Ben was like, oh, your quote was so awesome. We put it on the poster. And I think I called it something like The Big Lebowski for baseball fans, you know, smart, quirky, check out Spaceman. Anyways, Duhamel's a great guy. Came to the studio in ESPN. Huge Twins guy. Huge Vikings fan. He's from North Dakota. Legit big sports fan. I believe he's invited Russillo over NFL Sunday Ticket. Not sure if they're getting it for free via DirecTV. But take a listen to this clip. This is Josh. Now, he was talking about he just got married, by the way. I think like a week ago he got married. But this is his previous high-profile relationship with Fergie from Black Eyed Peas. He gives a great answer earlier in the interview about working with Al Pacino. You're going to listen to that once again, June 23rd, 2017. And he also, then I asked him about James Caan. And he said James Caan gave him this advice. Take a listen.
I just remember I was telling him that I was about to go on my first date with Fergie. He's like, oh man, she's hot. She's real hot. Here, let me give you a little piece of advice. Go work one out before the date. You can make it out what you want. I was like, what? What was that? You want me to do what? Is it, that's your like advice?
Like this
no,
is
thanks. No thanks.
Well, we can talk that.
Sorry back there. The producers are all cringing.
No, they love it. We're keeping it for sure.
That's so good.
How about that? Tell the guy to work one out before. You nailed it. What's the reference? What movie is he referencing?
There's Something About Mary. It's just exactly. Like, perfect.
We got a Something About Mary reference here happening with James Caan. Dirty old perv. Anyways.
I haven't been on a date in a long time, but it doesn't sound like terrible advice. You know, get your mind right. Get your mind right. Just get clear-headed.
Just
you know,
focus on the task at hand. You're not too kind of jumpy and stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, how good was her? I mean, we'll get to it in a sec. I was going to just mention the fact Stephen Galloway last week was fantastic. But the fact that you just weren't paying attention. My buddy Cabby texted me, Hoosh. They're like, dude, that was awesome. That guy's great. And they recognize, they go, he's from the Hollywood Reporter. Like, he's done interviews. I'm like, yeah, like, he's a big deal. Now, you,
we didn't even talk on air about how I wasn't paying attention to that interview.
I was going
to
say, you, in fairness, were doing work on your phone. You were actually doing company work for Metalark, but you were completely disinterested. And the interview, like, it was awesome. Like, I'm dropping a welcome to Tangier. The fact that Clark Gable's wife gave him a sock.
When I listened back to it, editing it, I really enjoyed it. I think I texted you that. I was like, wow, no, you're right. This I didn't?
No,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Why I was like, I wonder if Cody actually listens to it or he just kind of
I was thinking it. When I listened back in editing, I definitely was into it. And like, I was like saying to myself, how did you not like pick up on Adnan? Just like, you were doing that interview for me.
Yes.
I felt like such an asshole after that because it was like, wow, you were just doing working blue after working blue.
You know, like if you're in a meeting, like a post-show meeting, and like you're giving advice to crew, but you're looking at one person, that's what I was doing. It'd be like if you're saying it, you're looking at Billy. Go watch what I'm about to do. Hey, Dan, what do you think about? I was doing that. I go, Steven, I'm curious about it. I'm looking at you like, Cody, look what I'm
so
doing.
So disinterested. So,
in fairness, you were working, so it's fine. I
was working. I was dealing with some stuff. But yes, stuff that was. Done. It's not still not a good look for me.
It's all good. Let's get back to Bandit. If you like a good bank robber movie, you're going to like this movie. Josh Duhamel is one of these actors. Now, again, I'm partial. Right? He's a great guy. He's good friends with Ben. I think he's a good dude. But he doesn't make movies that are well-liked by the critics. And he has joked about this. I believe he was on Kimmel. And he goes, I don't think I have more than two movies that are above 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. That was his line. He goes, you go look at my movies. He goes, they get crushed by critics. He made a film. I think he directed it. He mentions it on that podcast interview. It was about him and his buddies. Horrible. It's like 8% Rotten Tomatoes. So he knows. He goes, I'm not making movies for the critics. I do it for my buddies, for my friends. Does it for the money and the babes. I mean, he's just got married again. His wife's like 20 years younger than him. Like, he's living a good life. He's Josh Duhamel. But it's pretty rare when he actually makes a film that is well-reviewed. So that's why I was a little bit skeptical going in. But lo and behold, Duhamel, 75% Rotten Tomatoes for this movie, 95% audience score. And it's easy to see why. It's funny. It's charming. It's well-directed by Alan Unker. And it's a really cool story. This is a guy who already is a career criminal. He escapes prison in America, and then you see him just taken off of the border, ends up in Canada. Now, as Sammy, my friend, texted me, he goes, if you do interview Alan, what's fascinating is they shot this movie in Atlanta and had to make it look like Ottawa, Ontario. Even those who are unfamiliar with Ottawa, which is the nation's capital in Canada, it doesn't look like Atlanta. So I don't know how the hell they pulled this off. But he goes up there, meets a nice girl, Alicia Cuthbert, good Canadian girl, by the way. The Girl Next Door, I'm sure Cody knows that movie. Mm-hmm. He meets her, they start dating, whatever, okay, blah, blah, blah. But he's got no money. He's a criminal. He's escaped America. He's a fugitive. Ends up getting lined up with, I know, it's a little squeamish here, Mel Gibson. Like, you see him, you're like, oh, my God. You just picture drunken anti-Semitic tirades. But if you can try to put that aside, he is still a good actor. The first time you see him, he's in a strip club. And he's talking about Boy George, a film set in the 80s. He's just bashing Boy George. I'm like, I love it. He's like, this guy's eyeliner, his music is real music, Sinatra. I'm like, yes. I like this guy. He's like, Sinatra's great. He's like, I saw Sinatra at the Garden way up. I couldn't even see the color of his tie, but that was music. This guy's a freak show. I'm like, yeah, I like it. Good Mel Gibson tyrant on Boy George. Duhamel meets him. Hey, let's get to work, etc. He puts him some money. Long term is this. Duhamel starts robbing banks, and he does so because he kind of gets his way into prosthetics. So he figures out a way how to apply mustaches, fake nose, fake chins, all that kind of stuff. And he's very polite. He's like a Canadian robbing people. He walks in, hey, I need all your money. Here's the gun. Boom, it's all Canadian dollars. Away we go. So he's out west in Calgary with Gibson. Then he flies back every week back to Alicia Cuthbert. He's like, oh, I got this new job. Oh, I'm working in finance stuff. I'm working with my dad. Oh, it's really going well. She clearly is dense and just believes him. All of a sudden, the money starts piling up. But how long is this going to last? The cops are to get on his trail, and away we go. That's why it's called The Flying Bandit, because he was pulling off bank robberies in Alberta, then flying back to Ontario, living a nice little life with his wife and baby, and we go from there. But I think when it comes to bank robbery movies, I mean, first of all, who wouldn't want to be a bank robber? If right now, Cody, I said to you, like, we can pull out, I swear to God, Cody, I've talked to the guy, no alarm trip, $4 million, you, me, let's go. You're like, all right, I'm in. It's 10 minutes of work.
With the risk, without the risk of like risking my entire life, yes, I'm with you. Like, it does seem cool. Of all like the bad jobs and the like, of all like crimes, it seems like a pain. Like, I'm not killing anybody.
Yeah.
So it's just like I could see myself. I could see it being fun in a dream. I'd like to have a dream where I'm a bank robber.
Okay, the dream bank robber. There's your show title. Like that's where things become fun. And even at one point when she realizes, you know, what he's doing. She's like, where's this all this money coming from? She's like, are you a drug dealer? He's like, no, like, to your point, no one wants to deal drugs. He's like, oh, come on. She's like, are you killing people? He's like, no. And then he shows her, and she's like, rather than being upset, she's turned on by it. Like, oh my God, can I come with you? Like, I want to rob a bank. Like, this sounds awesome. Like, I want to see how you do this. He's like, okay, I'll show you. Like, I go there, I watch security, I tail them, I come in, I have this disguise, blah, blah, blah. So, like, it ends up being interesting how, to your point, even a woman could be turned on by that. But the fact it's based on a true story, like I said, I thought it was crisp, it was smart, it was funny, it was well cast. It's a really enjoyable movie. Make sure you go check out Bandit, which is available right now in limited release.
If you could watch only one of these the rest of your life, would you watch Bandit or Bandits?
Oh, Billy Bob Thornton, I love. Bruce Willis.
Yo, with Bruce Willis? When I first saw the email of, like, that was what you're doing, I got excited a little bit. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. But still, that's one of those, I used to love that movie.
It's tough to turn down Bandits, because I love that cast. But I got to go with Bandit. Dumel's my guy. Come on.
Wow.
Todd Jorgensen of CinemaLog. Dumel gives the anti-hero an offbeat charm. He is a charming guy. Although the script struggles to sustain any meaningful suspense while juggling comedy and drama. I disagree. I thought they had a good amount of suspense. This one here from James Bardinelli of Real Views. The problem with telling a true story like this is that the ending is written in stone and there's nothing the screenplay can do about it. The term anticlimax comes to mind. Well, yes, there is a certain element of a preordained ending, but I think that you don't know how you get to that destination, right? It's not the destination, it's the journey. It's like a trip. At the same time, I think Bandit, even though you kind of have an idea where it's going, it's still really well done and very crisp and entertaining. So thanks to my friend Sammy for sending it along. Go check out Bandit. Once again, coming up, our wild card, Maya Forbes and Wally Wolodarski. But now it's time for the old school. All right, a little history lesson for those who are uninitiated. It's me and my buddy Dan Stanzik hanging out in Connecticut, and I'm lamenting the fact that I'm failing on all these radio shows, and I'm never going to get my own show. So how do I do a podcast? He goes, let's do it. And I said, well, everyone and their grandmother has a podcast. Got to do something different. He goes, I'll do it with you. I said, okay. He goes, all the stuff that you're into, man. I mean, movies, baseball, Flyers, Canada, whatever you want, Federer. I'm like, I don't know about the other stuff, but maybe the movie stuff. ESPN stands for Entertainment Sports Programming Network. We can do movies. He goes, let's do it. So Dan, and this tells you a lot about Dan, we just go ahead and just record it. He's like, boom, let's do it. Puts it out there. I was like, well, I was kind of talking too fast. I was all over the place. Like, no, dude, it's good. He goes, just get it out there.
You were talking faster than this?
Oh, yeah. Peach and a senior, our boss, after, is like, I thought I didn't talk too fast. Got to work on that. Otherwise, that was pretty good. Put it out there. I'm like, yes. And very cleverly, Dan Stanzik realized, let's put it on the Mike and Mike feed. Because if we had just been on our own, we would have died a slow death. But he goes, you fill in on Mike and Mike. I'm a producer on Mike and Mike. We'll put it on the Mike and Mike feed. And as Mike Golick said, you guys are sucking off the Mike and Mike teat. But sure enough, we were able to succeed. Dan Stanzik was very smart in doing that, and he produced 78 episodes of this podcast. He has now listened to all the other episodes, which are up to 240, if you can believe it or not, and the OG, the original gangster, Dan Stanzik, returns today. First and foremost, Dan, how shocked are you this podcast is still going?
I'll tell you what, if we made it a Federer podcast, it would be over now. Tough week for you. It also definitely haven't listened to all 240. Hammer the under on that. There was a few in the middle there. The cadence era, spotty.
Cadence era,
spotty.
Yeah, how about the fact, listen, you're an avid reader. The best thing about you, there's a lot of good things about you, but the best thing about you, you once read a book every week.
Yeah.
Cody, he read 52 books. I tell
people, wait a minute. The Everyman read a book a week? This is something not adding up.
Yeah, Cody, happening? I'm a little more nerdy than you'd think. I mean, if the glasses don't give it away. Yeah. I think I've read about one or two books this year, though. Having a 17-month-old daughter will do that to you. I've read around a lot of kids' books, though. I have those basically memorized, but not a lot for myself.
You watching Bluey yet?
Bluey is nonstop. We've got the Bluey stuffed animal. We got the figurines. She just loves the intro, though. She doesn't even watch the show. She just wants the intro, and then she goes, more. I'm like,
okay, yes.
You got to wait 7 more minutes. She's like, more. I'm like, okay. So I have on my phone, I kid you not, a link to someone, God bless whoever they are, on YouTube. It's 10 minutes straight of just the Bluey open.
Me and my daughter do that song where instead of saying mom, dad, we just throw random things like peanuts. Happiness. So we'll sing it for like 2 hours just saying random things.
It's catchy, man.
Yeah.
Bluey is definitely catchy. But my point is, as a literary guy, I mean, you've read, like I said, it's a stretch, you've read a book a week. Are you as stunned as I am that the Cinephile has become so literary? I mean, this is your place for authors, which is right up in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, but you are taking on the role of like the voracious reader now. Like you are like giving yourself homework every week. I don't know how you're still functioning. You have like still 12 jobs and you're like, oh, this one's got a book on whoever, Sidney Poitier, like, all right, let's go. I'm like,
and he doesn't realize, you don't have to read the book to do the interview. I mean, it makes a better interview. I'm not saying, like, he's these interviews are made interesting because of Adnan actually reading the books, but most people are just like, hey, why'd you write the book? Like, you know what I mean? Adnan takes this serious.
The thing you can do, you can ask the people behind the author, hey, give us some talking points, and then there you go. You got an interview. You hear something they say. You ask them. You don't need to read the book.
I love his brutal honesty. He'll be like, I'm 279 pages in. I'm in the middle of page 2. Like, you're like, you give the exact details of what you've read. I just love your honesty.
Well, how about last week, Stephen Galloway? Like, Dan, you were at a boys trip this week. I'm not sure if you listened to him yet. But
oh, I heard it.
I'm looking at Cody and trying to get a reaction. He's on his phone the whole time. I go, are you listening to this? Clark Gable's wife knitted him a sock to keep his genitals warm?
I will say this about Adnan. If there are lurid details, he is in. And he will find them, and he will ask about them, and that is what he likes more than anybody else. It's very weird.
No, we've connected on that. It's our biggest connection, I'd say, with me taking over this podcast with him, is like we both love that shit. So he's doing it for me. He's tickling me. He's trying to tickle me.
Plenty of times, the repartee between you two before you get going in the movies is my favorite part of the podcast because I've only watched 3 movies all year. But you guys going back and forth is... Awesome.
Thank you.
I love it.
That's what I like too.
But that author,
I don't watch any of the movies either.
He lost me at one moment when he told me Vivian Leigh or whatever.
Yeah.
He's bipolar. And he goes, I'm reading her diaries and I can tell when the bipolarness kicked in. I'm like, get the hell out of here. The handwriting changed? I don't think so. Okay.
Taking Stephen Galloway to task. I love it.
Yeah, that was a bit much for me, but I did listen.
I appreciate it. You've only watched 3 movies all year. We got to guess the 3, Cody. One of them has got to be Top Gun Maverick because every asshole has now seen that movie.
It was amazing. I loved it. Yes. It's the only movie I've seen in theaters. Awesome. I know you hate Tom Cruise. You have your reasons. I'm with you on those reasons. It is so hard to nail a sequel 30 years after the original.
Yeah.
They hit all the right notes. It was incredible. All right, sure, you got to suspend disbelief. I get it. There's some crazy things that happen. But they also have great callbacks to the original. I don't know how well in tune you guys are, but one of the go-to lines for Maverick is talk to me, Goose. When Miles Teller, who is Goose's son, says, talk to me, Dad. Woo! I was Goosies, feeling that one. Goosies. Let me tell you. And I don't know if maybe you've seen this, Cody. Probably not you, because you wouldn't be reading reviews that aren't just clipped to give to Adnan for the podcast. But someone had a theory that it's actually just like a fever dream, a death dream. And that explains away a lot of the, you know, where you have to suspend disbelief. Amazing.
I like that theory. Okay, 2 of the movies you've seen. I don't know if Shay's going to the movies yet, but I'm going to guess one of the other movies was Minions Rise of Gru.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Okay. All right. 2 of the movies you've seen. Maybe a date night with Jenna.
Nah, definitely not.
No.
Definitely.
Okay, what were the other 2 movies?
Just I saw Batman, The Batman. Okay. Saw that on a plane. Whatever. Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz, cool. Whatever. It's
great
fine.
Here, yeah.
And then I watched Elvis last week.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay,
damn,
so 3 big movies
that.
You've seen. Elvis, what'd you think?
It was way too long.
Okay.
I enjoy, my favorite Elvis song is Suspicious Minds, so I got plenty of Suspicious Minds, which I was happy about.
Song.
And I don't know if this isn't a bone to pick, this isn't a disagreement, but you're saying how Tom Hanks' performance was Razzie-worthy. And I'm saying pump the brakes. Maybe he nailed that character, and the character was just so despicable, so unlikable that everybody hates him. Is there something to that? Tom Hanks, America's actor, everybody loves Tom Hanks. We're saying he had an awful performance? Or was that character that he portrayed just an asshole?
No, I don't have an issue with the character being an asshole. I thought Hanks' actual performance, like physically, the way he's mugging to the camera.
Distracting. I've heard a lot of people call it distracting.
It was a distracting performance, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was very mannered.
All right.
Let's get to the Chicago Marathon. Even with a 17-month-old child, you're running the Chicago Marathon October 9th. Are you nuts?
Yeah, yeah. Quick, just dusted off a quick 7 just now before we hopped on here.
Wow.
Me
too. Seven slices of pizza. That's what I knocked off.
Cody told the story before he came on, Dan. He said that years ago he saw you walking the beach at 6 a.m. And he's like, this is hours before you needed to be anywhere. And he goes, okay, that's
Remember?
A guy clearly dedicated to fitness.
I had run and then I walked onto the beach after. I think there was.
Yeah, well, you were like, I was driving into the studio and you guys, I guess Mike and Mike was in town or something. I don't remember, but like, I remember you. I just remember driving like, wow, Stanzik's walking Miami Beach. Or maybe you were running. I don't remember.
Maybe
you were
I was
out
running.
Exercising.
Maybe I wasn't. Clearly, I wasn't running very fast, but my wife asked me last week, she was like, do you enjoy like the running? And I'm like, I think of it a lot like what Le Batard says about writing all the time. He goes, I hate writing, but I love to have written. So there's a lot of that, which like most days I wake up and I don't want to run, but I feel so much better after I've run. So whatever. Marathon number three, Chicago. Let's do it.
Haven't done Chicago before, though, right?
No.
This is your first
time. No, no, no.
The lake effect. Could be
I know. They say it's nice. They say it's beautiful.
I want to get to your – you have a quiz for Chris Cody.
I do.
Portly, Dan.
I do.
I want to see that. I can't
wait.
You
want to do that? I do have an Everyman, too, so whatever order
you
want to go
I'll do the quiz first, then I want to go to Everyman.
Oh, what's this quiz? I like to study for quizzes. What's this? I don't like this.
Speaking of preparation, Dan's with a few people. I love Claire. I love Ben Brigowski. He actually sends topics. Like, Stanzik is ready to go. He produced his own segment. It was great.
I feel like this is not going to make me look good.
No,
I'm
Cody,
just starting
here,
there.
Hear me out here. You guys did your whole When Harry Met Sally thing a couple weeks ago, and you had a great line, Chris. You go, my cultural knowledge has expanded now because I've seen When Harry Met Sally. And you learned the I'll have what she's having. Like, that's the line. Oh, famous line. Wow.
Oh, so you're going to give me famous
and
things?
And then Adnan mentioned you're going to need a bigger boat from Jaws, and you're like, oh, well, now I know where that one's from. And I'm
yeah,
like,
I didn't know
how
that one
does
either.
He not know that that's from Jaws? Stunning. So I was like, I got to put together a movie quote quiz for Cody. So I have 10 quotes. Some of the movies I have multiple quotes to kind of help you out. But
they aren't
terribly hard. I'm going to give you a little clue. More than half of them came out in your lifetime.
Okay.
So I do think there is a version of this quiz, Chris, where you go full Slumdog Millionaire, a movie you probably haven't seen, and guess
them
all right.
Yeah. I know the concept, though.
Okay. All right. Number one, Adnan, do not help him. I think if Adnan didn't go 10 for 10, I don't think he should have this podcast. I think they're pretty easy for Adnan.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Love this.
Quote number one, get busy living or get busy dying.
Wow.
This is going to be great.
I have no idea.
Going 0 for 10
Die trying. James Bond.
Incorrect. I'll give you another quote from that movie if it helps you. Hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies.
I have no clue.
All right.
The
that's
color
from
purple.
Shawshank Redemption, 1994.
Okay.
Popular film. It's on
I've
TV
seen that
all
movie.
The time.
I've only seen that once, though. I have watched that. That's the prison movie,
get
right?
Get busy living or get busy dying. You're goddamn right.
I've seen that movie one time, not enough to know the lines.
Okay. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
Quote number two. I actually have three quotes from this movie because I don't think you're going to get it. But play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
This is incredible. You got to get this.
Don't guess yet. If you want another quote from that movie, I got another one.
No, get more quotes. He's not going to know that.
We'll always have Paris.
It's one of the greatest movies of all time, Cody.
Here's looking at
Midnight
you,
in
kid.
Paris. Midnight in Paris.
Round up the usual suspects.
But old school.
I don't know,
old
man. I don't know.
Cody, this,
you guys
your dad
are flipping.
A movie your dad would love. Like old school.
I produce my dad's podcast. We have a segment on that podcast called Greg Cody Doesn't Know Movies where we're doing the exact same thing to my dad, and I'm now being it's flipped on me, and I deserve
this. It's from the 40s.
I have no clue. I don't know.
All right, it's Casablanca. We're moving on.
Casablanca, damn it.
Fine, we're moving on.
This is going well so far.
I think you're going to get this one.
Okay.
No way. He's going 0 for 10.
Quote number three. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
He'll get this.
Why are you saying he'll get this?
Okay, it's more recent. It's in the last 30 years.
Now I'm like stressed right now. I'm starting to sweat.
1995.
That's your constant state of being, though, stressed and starting to sweat. That's
I know.
It's a Tuesday.
Stupid ring light on me. Yeah. All right.
1995.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you some actors. Kevin Spacey, Benicio Del Toro. Chaz Paul and Terry.
Dirty Dancing.
Gabriel
I have
Byrne.
No idea.
You actually referenced this movie. You just said the movie. You go, I don't know. You just said it 2 minutes ago. You go, I don't know. Is it The
Usual Suspects.
I didn't.
Yeah. In guessing Casablanca, you go, what is it? The Usual Suspects? This is what
I didn't say Usual Suspects.
Round up the Usual Suspects. I was trying to play into that one. I don't think you got a shot at this one.
I'm
number
miserable.
Four.
Make them easy. Come on.
Number
give me
four.
Easy.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Okay. No,
very
I'll give you
famous.
1979.
Adnan knows that
film?
Without looking it up.
I love Adnan thinking these like random years are going to help me.
All right, fine. Robert Duvall.
It's not
war
helping
film.
Him. It's Francis Apocalypse Now. He hasn't seen it. We're moving on. Quote number five. You got this one. You
right.
Had me at hello.
Oh, I know this one. Tom
You're
Cruise.
A rom-com guy.
Tom Cruise, agent, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah! We're on the board.
One for five.
And we don't have a chance in hell at this one. Quote number six. Oh, I forgot I have a board.
He gets a board now. We have a board. Yeah.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am.
This is the best movie on this list so far.
Another line?
Big reference on De Niro, Scorsese. It's reference in Raging Bull.
Marlon Brando's the one who says it. He hasn't seen it. It's On the Waterfront, 1954. Movie.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
That's the best one he's done so far.
I've never even heard of that movie.
All right. This one was written by David Mamet, one of Adnan's favorites. Coffees for Closers Only.
Okay, come on, Cody.
You've heard people say that in your life, yes. I imagine.
Rookie yes. of the year.
Okay, Al Pacino, Kevin Spacey, Alec Baldwin,
and then
Jack
it doesn't
Lennon.
Help me when you tell me that.
And you haven't helped him at all. You're just making
you're
it worse.
You're stressing me out.
You're because salt in the wound right now.
30th anniversary of this movie.
That's
30th
not helping.
Every single one of these has gotten a fist pump for Madden because he thinks I'm going to know it. And it just demoralizes me more.
All right. It's Glenn Ross. I can't say that. Really struggle with that
for
one.
You to say.
1992. Yeah. All right. Number 8. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Oh, I know this
he
one.
He knows this one. He
knows said this one earlier.
Yeah I know. I've heard this line. Is there another line that you have for me?
No, you guessed it earlier. You said, is it? You guessed this movie.
You keep doing this. I've guessed like 42 movies. No one puts baby in the corner.
You know that one.
On the fourth movie, Dan said, you said, is it this?
The fourth movie.
Like, yeah, this is such a blur to him. Yeah, he's one right at, man. Come on.
Please just tell me.
It's Dirty Dancing.
Patrick Swayze. Patrick Swayze.
Dirty Dancing. I said that one.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know.
I think this is my favorite quote of them all. Number 9 here. Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
This guy just died. No, that's right. He just had his birthday. He's 78 years old. Now, he just had a birthday 2 days ago. It was on Twitter. People were like, oh.
Yeah. I'm not in your brain, Adnan.
The Kaminsky Method, Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Even telling who
that's
it
is. That's the show he's in. No.
Oh, money something. Money.
It's a movie about money. It's
money,
in the 80s.
Money Ball. Not
he's
Money Ball.
Son of a famous... His dad's very famous.
I know. It's
Michael
Street.
Douglas. He
Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
As soon as you said money show. And Michael Douglas, as soon as I was like, I know that's, I just had to find it.
Because we got two. That's pretty good.
All right. And number 10.
1.5.
Give me 3 on this one. Come on, Cody. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I know this one. I know this one. The Godfather.
Let's go. Let's go. Well done.
You know why I know that one? Because I've seen You've Got Mail.
That's fine.
That's a bad admission.
In that movie, Tom Hanks is like
always
Monday,
quoting
Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. He like is doing all the quotes while
Hanks
he's typing.
Nora Ephron. Yeah. I love it. Hanks is quoting Godfather.
Yeah.
I think we should edit out that answer just so Adnan's sanity stays. I know that because I've seen
I've seen The Godfather, but I like know those specific quotes because I'm literally picturing Tom Hanks in his like heavy accent, like right. doing it.
Okay. I know that because I know You've Got Mail. Not one of the greatest films of all time.
The rough one.
The two, for the record, the ones that I most liked, I mean, obviously Mammoth, I love Glengarry, but Casablanca on the Waterfront, which there was no way Cody was going to get. All right.
1979. Chris, you don't know it? Chris, it's his birthday. It was his birthday 2 days ago.
No, he was like, he's what? Dead. No, he's 78. Yeah.
Michael Douglas just turned 78 years old.
Chris, it was the seventh thing you said 20 minutes ago. What was that? Say it again. Like, what are we doing?
3 for 10 is pretty good, though, Chris. 3 for 10.
I'm embarrassed. Nah, like that.
You're not
I need to be
embarrassed.
Better.
It's okay. It's fine.
Some of those were kind of obscure, but there were a few there I should have known.
So this segment's called The Everyman. Dan just takes it over. Cody, we don't interrupt. He's written it. We let him go. After that, if you have any comments or questions, by all means, go ahead. Dan, floor's
yours. I don't get any production. Like, Claire's got a hole open. Cody follows her on Instagram. Like, all this
what
stuff.
Are you?
Yes!
I follow you on Instagram. I'm looking this up right now. Dan Stanzik.
That's an excellent point about the follow on Instagram. Attaboy.
Dan.
It's amazing. We'll
Stan. No, we're not tying this up.
No, you're not following.
I follow you on
there
Instagram.
We go.
Right, get out of here.
Good to know. All right, okay.
It's good to know you care that I follow you. I mean, you don't even know.
I'm still waiting for my open.
I always see all these pretty pictures of your daughter, and you don't even appreciate me
I don't think you like them. That's probably why.
Yeah, you gotta
That's
like
true.
That's true. All right, here we go. The Everyman. Every day I come by your house and I pick you up. We go out and have a few drinks, a few laughs, and it's great. You know what the best part of my day is? It's for about 10 seconds from when I pull up to the curb and when I get to your door. Because I think maybe I'll get up there and I'll knock on the door and you won't be there. No goodbye, no see you later, no nothing. You just left. I don't know much, but I know that. That's right, folks. Good Will Hunting. The 1997 movie that announced Matt Damon and Ben Affleck to the world. Damon and Affleck wrote and starred in the film, winning an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay. Damon also picked up a nom for Best Actor. The film was directed by Gus Van Sant and also featured Minnie Driver, Casey Affleck, who would go on to star in one of my favorite movies, Gone Baby Gone, and then win Best Actor for his role in Manchester by the Sea. And it also starred Robin Williams, who won his lone Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. The film is ostensibly about a 20-year-old genius from South Boston, played by Damon, who works as a janitor at MIT and solves two insanely difficult math equations on a chalkboard in the hallway. The highly decorated professor who put them there tracks him down and wants to work with him, but Damon's character, the titular Will Hunting, is from the streets. He hangs out with lowlifes, drinks too much, gets in fights, and has a rap sheet that he's largely been able to talk his way out of in court except the judge presiding over his latest run-in with the law puts his foot down. The professor talks to the judge and gets Will out of jail, but on two conditions. One, he has to meet with the professor weekly to work on math equations. And two, he has to meet with a therapist. And that's when the movie really takes off, because, of course, the therapist is Robin Williams. And the relationship between his character and Damon's is really the driving force of the film. It takes some doing, but Will forms a special kind of kinship with Robin Williams' character, Sean. Sean sees through Will's defense mechanisms. He almost chokes him out when Will insults his dead wife. And Sean endures full sessions of silence, waiting for Will to finally crack. They eventually connect through jokes. Hey, hon, don't forget the coffee. Will tells him about his girlfriend, Skylar. Do you like apples? How about them apples? I got her number. Who's a senior at Harvard and bound for med school at Stanford. The professor lines up multiple job interviews for Will at think tanks and government agencies, but Will doesn't want to leave Boston. He's never been anywhere else. He breaks up with Skylar and tells her he doesn't love her, even though he might, because he can't go to California with her. He can't even formulate an answer when Sean asks him what he wants to do with his life. He is trapped and haunted by his past. He is terrified of his future. This uncertainty, I believe, is what makes Good Will Hunting so popular. Thematically, it's about finding someone who challenges you, looking for your soulmate, deciding what the best course of action is for your future, and making the most of your God-given talents. Who can't relate to that? Seriously. Eventually, we get to the emotional climax of the film where Sean and Will briefly discuss the physical abuse Will endured as a foster child. Sean tells Will not once, not twice, but 10 times that it's not your fault. Will ends up taking a job, but before he starts, he, to steal a line from Sean, has to go see about a girl. Good Will Hunting, 3.5 Maple Leafs. Adnan, what say you?
I love that you didn't go 4 Maple Leafs. I was actually thinking of doing this on the old, because I haven't seen it since it first came out, caused such a sensation. It made stars out of Damon and Affleck seemingly overnight. They win the Academy Award. Both guys had been in movies. They just hadn't been in big movies. They hadn't had a really big hit role. School Ties, the audition for. Damon had a small role in Courage Under Fire, lost 40 pounds for it. But this was a really kind of rags to riches tale, those guys actually winning an Academy Award. You're right about Robin Williams. He won the Oscar that year. Fantastic. Really kind of gave that movie that gravitas. But yeah, I like that movie. Gus Van Sant directed, and Cody, by the way, was all over.
Right, where were the lines? Said, where were the lines for my quit? Like, what the? Like, I knew all those lines. If you would have said any of those lines, I had that one.
I figured you'd seen that movie. The best line is the line I opened with, I think.
Yeah, I totally forgot the entire passage. Yeah,
yeah.
I like the fact where he's talking about his wife's farts. Robin Williams is talking about his wife's farts. Cody does not remember the flatulence scene, but that's fine.
No, I honestly, when he was saying that first line, it wasn't one that jumped out at me at Good Will Hunting, but as he was saying it, I was like, I've heard this line before. And then once we
come back.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a really good movie. I actually want to go watch it again.
So I think that's 25th anniversary. I think it's 97, right? That's the 25th anniversary?
Yeah, 25th anniversary. It's pretty good. Good Will Hunting. A really different time in movies. Miramax, I mean, Harvey Weinstein, all involved with that stuff. It's weird.
I didn't want to mention the Weinstein. It was really,
He really helped that campaign. That's a big reason why those guys won that Oscar. Anyways, I like the fact he gave it 3.5 Maple Leafs. Pretty good review. Before we close up shop, though, reading, watching, and listening. Every year, Cody, Dan sends out to all his good friends, he sends out a reading, watching, and listening list. And it's like all the stuff that he's read, watched, or listened to. And it's of it, to be honest, I don't necessarily care if you listen to, you know, Casey Musgrave's album, but the reading is always good. Whatever book he recommends, I'm like, oh yeah. So I've been, what was the one, what was it, The Silent Patient? He recommended it. It was awesome.
Such a good book.
Yeah, he always puts it. So I really, you can give me the full list. I'm more just curious what you're reading. You've only read a couple books.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Adnan, because the reading is very, very diminished, as I think I alluded to earlier. I think the last book I read, I finished in August. I've probably read like 3 books all year. The last book was actually a Gojo recommendation on the English Premier League. It's called The Club. You're not interested in that. Next on my list is Mike Schur's book, How to Be Perfect. You're probably not going to read that.
I actually read some of that book.
Yeah?
How was it?
I loved it. Great book. Good read.
Okay. So not a lot of books, Damon. How about watching and listening?
Watching, I loved when you guys had Billy Gill on a few weeks back. I forget when that was. I'm a big Only Murders in the Building guy on Hulu. Yeah. I just knocked off Severance on Apple Plus with Adam Scott. Yeah, anyone Adam seen Scott, that?
Ben Stiller directing.
Yeah, very good. A lot of, did it win the Emmys? I don't know. It was up for a lot. No, I don't know.
It was up for a lot. Didn't win the Succession.
And then I've referenced this to you before, Adnan, but Never Have I Ever on Netflix is like my wife and I, it's our favorite show. Awesome. Yeah. Indian girl, LA high school.
Yeah,
dirty, trying to fit in. Hilarious. Mindy Kaling, executive producer. So yeah. That's watching, listening. I just finished, or I think there's one more episode. There's a podcast called 1 Year. I think it's by Slate. And they did 1986, which was the year I was born in. And it's just like 7 stories you may not have heard of. Like, for example, the most recent episode I listened to, there was a hostage situation in a grammar school in Wyoming, and the bomb went off, and 154 people were in the room, and nobody died.
What?
Wow.
One year. Yeah, okay. It's called 1 year. Previous seasons, they did like 1973. I think they did 1995, and this is 1986. I think it's the third season. I would also recommend one episode of a podcast called Plain English with Derek Thompson. He had former Cinephile guest Chuck Klosterman on. Nice. The title of the episode is "Why Does It Seem Like Everybody Hates Everything?" I would direct you to that one episode. It's fascinating.
Plain English is what it's called?
Plain English, yeah. I think it's through the Ringer, so I think it's Spotify.
And lastly, you have a theory why I'm down on Ted Lasso. Fish at a water tail, funny, charming, soccer, not interested. You have a theory why?
I do have a theory why. I think Chris may have alluded to this when your hatred for Ted Lasso has come out on various episodes as it has. I think there's some psychology behind it, but Adnan is used to being in the role of the one giving the recommendations and not the one taking the recommendations.
Wow.
So I think there's a little bit of fear from Adnan where someone says, hey, have you seen something? And when he hasn't, I think that kind of gets you, like you've seen all these movies and it's like a point of pride that you've seen them. So when someone tells you something that you haven't seen, a defense mechanism, what goes from negative of I haven't seen something to turn it around, you just slam it. You go from a position of weakness to a position of power, saying, what you told me to watch sucks. I'm in a power position, instead of, oh, I'll check that out. That's amazing. And listen, then everybody says it's so great. And you're like, oh, I watched two episodes. Eh, whatever. If you watch season two, there's it's not just all like happy-go-lucky, everybody's awesome, everything's great.
It's
not that at all. They deal with mental health better than anyone's dealt with mental health on any show in the last two decades. And it's a story about an American guy coaching an English soccer team. Like it's meaty topics, but it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It's an interesting take, but I'm going to disagree with you. I had the same issue with Veep. Everyone tells you Veep's great.
Veep's probably my favorite show ever.
I didn't find that funny. Rogowski's like, how could you not find it funny? I just didn't laugh that much.
Hey, did you watch Cody Dirty Rock? Dude, that is so brilliant, that show.
30 Rock, Veep? I liked. I did like 30 Rock.
It's very similar.
Right, 30 Rock. Yeah, I didn't. Veep, I was like, all people I like. Tony Hale, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Disappointed in you. Chris, you're in on that theory, right?
Yeah, I think I was doing a lot of nodding during that. Yeah. It made sense. It may. I mean, I don't know, but yeah. things are making sense.
Ted Lasso is overrated.
There you go, again.
I didn't say it was bad. I said it was overrated. Last thing, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Louise Fletcher just died. That's why I was confusing when I said Michael Douglas died. Michael Douglas is alive. Louise Fletcher just died. The reason I bring this up, I had not seen Cuckoo's Nest in a long time. As you know, I reviewed it about a month ago. Have you seen Cuckoo's Nest or have you read the book? Because I read years ago someone said, Ken Kesey's novel is unfilmable. Good luck. And yet that movie swept the Oscars.
I've seen the film. I have not read the book. The takeaway from the film, everybody remembers Chief, right?
Yeah, Chief is unbelievable. Yeah. He throws the sink.
Yeah, you had a little Nicholson phase going on here, huh? Didn't you? Is that why? Okay.
Yeah, we had a big Nicholson phase. Okay. There, so. All right, last thing, and this is a little bit odd, but can you give us a John Skipper impression?
I
had Claire do one. Can you do one?
No, I cannot do one. I'm not from the South. I will say, and I can't believe I haven't mentioned this, the Louis Armstrong you did a couple weeks ago was a 10 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
I think it's the best impression you've ever done.
Yes.
Tomato, da-da-da. You say tomato. And I say tomato, you say potato. And I say potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah. See, you did that, and I was like, oh my God, that was so good. And then you did like a whole nother verse, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Do a whole episode on this.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I got to get Big Suey next year, Cody. My fake limited Louis Armstrong is going to be in there.
Yes.
Although, stands to cry, I don't think it's limited. I could do like an hour of it.
No, I don't know. I don't think in every episode in the past like month and a half, Chris has been like, yeah, dude, you're up for that. Nominated. I don't think you were nominated for any of them. I think it took you out of every single one of them.
He was like the Skipper one.
You're in there. You're definitely in there.
It got cut.
Thank you, Chris. I know you guys do like the thank you, Dan. The Sueys are awesome. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. That's a lot of work.
I appreciate that. It is.
Underappreciated.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did finally this year after like 7 years, I got a little help, but it's still, God.
My guy, Tony, help
Thank you?
You.
No. Oh. Lower, we got a hole.
That is Dan Stanzik, who Chris Cody does follow on Instagram. All of you should follow him on Instagram as well and follow his Twitter. Go Cuse. Go Giants. Big Blue. Tough loss against the Cowboys. But Brian Daboll, pride of Welland, Ontario, off to a good start. And, of course, most importantly, go Blue Jays. Trying to fight for that number 4 seed. We got to get home field. probably Jays, Mariners, Jays, Rays, the way it's looking. It could be interesting. And I will look up plain English. Why does everyone hate everything? I cannot wait.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
Do you? I don't think you really do.
No, I do, actually. That sounds interesting. That does sound very
interesting. And last thing, I mentioned this earlier. Remember the time I said, can we get Cinephile to get sponsored by Milk Duds? And your quote was, if you want Milk Duds, I can get you Milk Duds. Whatever happened with that? Can we get some Milk Duds? What do you think's going to happen?
Maybe I was just going to go to the store and get you some.
I'm working on it.
I think what I told you is to reference it on Mike and Mike, and then they will send them to you. I think that's
correct. That was your point. Like, dude, if you want Milk Duds, I'll get you Milk Duds. Just keep mentioning
it. Just keep saying it. It'll get to someone in Milk Duds. I didn't say I will do it for you.
Quote was, you want Milk Duds, I'll get you Milk Duds. But I think you're right. I think you meant I will get you that.
Just say it on Mike and Mike a lot. Just don't let it go. Yeah.
You'll get that back. All the podcasts, by the way, Dan is producing. If you listen to ESPN podcasts, you'll appreciate how much work this guy is doing. Zach Lowe's podcast, Mina Kimes, Woj, Shefty. You doing Shefty's too?
I don't do Shefty's, no. Yeah. Swagoo and Perk do a podcast. Brian Windhorst is a podcast. I'm probably leaving someone out that I do.
Can you tell Zach Lowe that Chris Whittingham listens to his podcast nude?
I can. Yeah, I talk to Zach Lowe almost every day.
It was like a weird admission by Chris Whittingham. He's like, I like to listen to podcasts in the nude, mainly the low post. I was like, okay.
I heard that admission. I heard that. Yeah.
On that note, Dan Sanzik will not be running the Chicago Marathon naked, but we look forward to that and the details October 9th. Give him hell, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff there from our man, Stanman. Let's get a little old school in there. The fact he's running a marathon is incredible, by the way. He has a child like you, has a young daughter, just like you, and he's running a marathon.
Yeah, also love a pop quiz. Love a pop quiz.
Yes, that pop quiz on you was, I did not expect that. You didn't expect that. No, first of all, I didn't know where he was going to go with that, but that was a pretty good quiz. All right, let's get to the wild card now. New movie in theater, Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Kline. It's called The Good House. Here are the writer and directors, Maya and Wally.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, a terrific movie opening in theaters September 30th. I had the pleasure of watching it, and naturally, I'm thrilled to talk to Maya Forbes and Wally Wolodarski. They adapted and directed this latest feature. It's called The Good House. And like I said, it's going to be in theaters September 30th. It stars Sigourney Weaver, Kevin Kline. You got Paul Guilfoyle, Marina Baccarin, Beverly D'Angelo. And it's based on Ann Leary's novel, The Good House. It's a terrific movie and a story about denial and drinking. I'm really glad that I was able to see it. I encourage everyone out there to check it out. Maya, Wally, let's dive in. Sigourney Weaver's great in the movie. I mean, she's such a talented actress. I was thinking while watching it, I haven't seen her in a while. Like, what's she been up to? So I'm so glad you guys cast her. How did you get Sigourney Weaver to take the role?
Right around the time that we were reading the book, somebody said, what do you think of Sigourney Weaver? We thought that is a home run times 10. So, I mean, besides just being fans of hers and excited to get into a room with her, we could see her embody that part immediately. It was there was no buy-in. It was just immediate.
Well, okay, yes, because she presents. I mean, she's so commanding. She's funny. She's obviously she's tough. She's Ripley. She's very tough. And to see her, I mean, and she's an amazing actor. So it felt so rich to be able to go on this, to be able to delve into this with her, where she's also, we know her. So when she's trying to convince us that she's right and everyone else is wrong, everyone else is a hypocrite, they're all drinking. I mean, where do they get off saying I have a problem? We felt like that's going to be compelling coming from her because she's got a lot of authority.
And what was she like on set? I'm sure somebody like that is like, masterclass in acting. Can you tell me anything about Sigourney Weaver behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, actually the really nice thing to report is that Sigourney is so dialed in and also so playful, so game, so ready to try things.
Very, and so warm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
She's a very funny and warm person.
Yeah.
So,
and I say the same thing about Kevin. I mean, they knew each other from a long time ago and have worked together previously. And it was really inspiring to be around people who are don't have to prove anything and have done just about everything that they could do in the movies and were still ready to just dig in, be game, play, be playful, and, you know, look for new things to try. So that was
like
exciting.
They learned how to band lobsters. she went swimming in 58 degree water. I mean, it was really 58 degrees. She did it. It was pretty crazy.
Was great because I'm like, that feels authentic. Like, I have no idea, but I'm like, it feels like Kevin Kline actually learned how to do this with lobster.
Yeah.
He would take the time and effort to learn how to do this properly and then take sort of to get lobster.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun day. We went on a boat and they learned all about it and they really got into it.
They practiced before we went on the boat.
Well, they practiced. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that song, Bring It On Home to Me by Sam Cooke. They have that one nice scene to them where they're dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, obviously, the music was so important to us because it really is about two people who are looking into their past. So that was important. And we're just also Sam Cooke fanatics. So that was just an easy one.
I was 1,000% with you on the Sam Cooke fanaticism. And we were inclined really making some sweet music out of that scene together. clever inside references to real estate. Like, I loved, let's get to the whole breaking the fourth wall. Maya, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Larry Sanders Show in a second, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. And of course, Gary, very famous, and the Gary Shandling Show was always breaking the fourth wall. So that was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, oh my God, I love when Shandling would do that. And I said, oh wow, Maya has a connection to Shandling. We'll get to that in a second. But just tell me about this project.
Wally has a connection too.
Yeah. And I was about breaking the fourth wall because you did it early on. And every time you did it, I thought it was funny, revealing. And I love what she says about real estate. She goes, you know, here's the sad truth. Divorce is good for business.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's from the book. That's an observation of Anne's from the book that we really liked, because it's, you kind of intuit that when you understand what's going on in the world, but to hear somebody say it was eye-opening for us. So I enjoy that. But you know, the fourth wall stuff really comes again, it's Anne created this incredibly rich inner life of this unreliable narrator. And so using this technique was for us a way to kind of just dig into what Anne had created.
Yeah, I thought it was really clever. And like you said, it was a really unique way to do it. I may have missed the line, but I was, when Kevin Kline's having a cigarette, does she call it jazz cabbage? What does she call it?
Yes, that's what she calls it.
She calls it jazz cabbage.
I don't know. I was reading something and it saw it referred to as jazz cabbage. Like, that's going in the script.
I said, I've never actually heard that before. I'm going to start using jazz cabbage. Like, cigarette. Like I said, the movie's terrific because, as you guys said, even though it deals with serious themes, it's playful and it's fun and it's just really smart. I just thought you really just knew that characters, you knew that terrain really well. It really felt authentic to that. So I encourage everyone to go check out The Good House once again in theaters on September 30th. I want to get into some of your other work. Obviously, Infinitely, Polar Bear, semi-fictionalized account, Maya, of your life growing up, but the fact that you went to Harvard, sister went to Harvard, father went to Harvard, and yet your father was bipolar. I love that movie. I mean, I love everything Ruffalo does. He's so good in that movie. And I think what I was struck by was how much fun the guy could be. Like, he really, you know, hey, let's go and have a time, good time. And then at other times, he was just so obviously in the throes of bipolar disorder, just couldn't do basic things. How much trepidation did you have when you're putting together a story and everyone's saying, oh, so this is your life? That's your dad? That was you? That was your sister? Like, how much fear did you have about putting so much of yourself into the movie?
I think the key is that I didn't have it till after the fact. Like, maybe if I'd had trepidation on the front end, I would have been too afraid to do it. It wasn't until it was sort of done and out and then it was like, oh, wait, everyone's going to ask me a lot of questions about my life. But I really wanted to, it really came out of me telling stories to my children. So my father died in 1998 and he was in many ways a wonderful father, but he also had all these problems. I mean, it's like the big thing I've wrestled with through my life. So when my children were little, they didn't know him. And so I wanted them to know him. And so I started telling them stories about him and it really came out of that. And I felt that one for my children, I want them to see what it was like, but I also felt like, I think a lot more kids and families, have this experience than we hear about because it's kind of buried. It's, you know, people don't talk about it. And it's important to know, especially, I mean, if I'd been a little kid and I'd seen that, I would have felt great because knowing that I was not the only one who was having this experience. I think a lot of kids have that experience and a lot of families. So anyway, that was all part of why I wanted to make that movie.
All All right, the Larry Sanders Show is the funniest show ever. It's so influential. It was so ahead of its time. It was brilliant beyond brilliant. I need your best Gary Shandling stories or any Larry Sanders Show stories you got from me. I'll take it all. I talked to Judd Apatow when he was promoting the Carlin documentary. He told me some doozies, so he obviously...
Oh, my God. What is my best Gary story? Do I have one?
Well, I mean, I
love Gary. I was so lucky to work on that show. That was my first job, really. But I don't know. Like, that's a long time ago. And there's COVID has happened. Just wiped things out of my mind. Can I think of anything?
I don't think it was my. You wrote Larry's Agent, Roseanne's Return. Those episodes both Emmy nominated. Maybe a story from those.
You really stumped me.
A Rip Torn story, maybe a Jeffrey Tambor story, whatever you got.
I love Rip so much.
He brought you a tomato once.
Rip, yeah, one time at a table read, just he came up to me with this beautiful princess tomato. It was this heirloom tomato. He said, "This is from my garden." Well, Rip, thank you so much. it was really, really sweet. He was just amazing to watch working Rip because, I mean, he was so ferocious in his everything that he did. It was an incredible job. I don't think I knew, because I was pretty young when I started on that show, what an incredible job it was. And, you know, I didn't really understand, like, I'm working with some of the best actors and this is some of the best writing I'm ever going to do in my career. You know, I didn't really understand what a unique experience it was. And Gary, you know, Gary was funny because he would have you, as you went through the scene, you'd start out doing rewrites of the Monday morning table read script, you know, early on Saturday. And then by the end of the season, he's like, "Can you get to my house at 6 p.m. on Sunday?" And you're like, "Oh my God, I'm going to be up really late tonight." But, you know, he did everything. So he was just incredible.
Yeah, Apatow's story was, because I told him, I go, "The roast is my favorite episode." He goes, "That's so interesting you said that." He goes, "That was one of the most challenging episodes we ever had. It was so stressful." And he goes, "By the end of it, Gary just left." He was like, "Yeah, like, I'm done, like, whatever." Like, because he went to, like, I believe he liked to go to Maui. He's there because he's just gone. We had to kind of cobble together the ending for that, because he goes, he did so much. He was literally writing everything, acting, editing. He's like, "By the end of it, that's it. I got nothing left. I'm done. I'm out."
He was burned out. He got pretty burned out doing that. Yeah.
I loved it beyond all measure. I also love The Good House. I encourage everyone to go check it out. Maya Forbes, Wally Wolodarski, terrific film right now. It's opening in theaters September 30th. Thank you so much to both of you. Congrats on a terrific film.
All right, you're welcome.
Bye. Bye. Thanks.
All right, thanks once again to both of them. Check out The Good House in theaters this Friday. Thanks once again to Dan Stancic, The Everyman, and go check out Bandit once again in theaters and avoid the black phone, or maybe it is just black phone. Next week on Cinephile, me and Chris are going to talk to Jeremy Lin. That's right, former NBA star. New documentary about him. So Jeremy Lin, right here on Cinephile, as well as a new film. It's on Netflix. It's called Blonde. It stars Ana de Armas. It's directed by Andrew Dominik. It's all about Marilyn Monroe. So new film, Blonde. We got Jeremy Lin. A lot of great stuff here on Cinephile. I'll see you at the movies.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.